Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this Sunday, April 15th, 2018. Taking you for the next 30 minutes as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to follow me on Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. No YouTube this morning, this afternoon, as we had just hit noon. No YouTube this afternoon. We're going to just go straight Facebook Live, and I'll explain to you why we did that. No big deal. A lot to discuss in this kind of abbreviated program, just 30 minutes today, as we get ready for day two of the NBA playoffs, and that's where we're going to begin. And I'm going to begin with the future. And the future, if you watched the games yesterday, at least two of the games, you saw that the future is now in regards to the NBA in terms of Ben Simmons and Anthony Davis. I'll get to the other two games later. But when you think about those two players, and you remember Anthony Davis has been in the league since 2012. He's only 25 years old. And it makes you think as he leaves New Orleans, as he gets his first playoff win, which to me was not, people making a way too big a deal. And, you know, it's his first playoff, getting the monkey off his back. He's only been in the playoffs one other time in his career. And that was 3 years ago when they were swept by a Golden State team that would go on to win the NBA championship. So let's keep that in mind. But you look at what Davis has done last night. He goes to 35, 14, four blocks, couple of steals, dominates that game from start to finish and leads New Orleans. They had to hang on from a late rally from Portland to a 97-95 game, a game that New Orleans completely deserved to win without question, deserved to win. They were the better team last night. Again, they had no answer for Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis in that series moving forward. You know, I'm not one who overreacts to game one, but I know this moving forward, that there's no question that Anthony Davis is the best player on the floor in that series by far. Okay, and Damian Lillard will be probably first team All NBA this year. I'll give you my All NBA teams later on in the program. He'll probably be first team All NBA this year in top 10. Maybe top 7 in the MVP balloting, and he deserved, and deservedly so. But I'm telling you right now, you know, I can only imagine this team with DeMarcus Cousins. Don't imagine this team with DeMarcus Cousins. They would be a scary team if they had DeMarcus Cousins as well. Philly, Miami, you see Ben Simmons, and you see a player who can dominate a game without shooting the basketball. Think about this, okay? And look at the box scores in that game in terms of shots attempted. Ben Simmons took, I'm looking right here, 13 shots in that game. You had J.J. Redick. You had Sarge, Ilyasova, and Bettinelli all took more shots than Ben Simmons. And all those guys had big games. Three of those guys had 20 or more. Well, all three of them had 20 points. Big game. Redick had 28. Sarge had 20. Bettinelli had 25. And Ilyasova had 17. But you look at that guy in Ben Simmons. He took 13 shots. Those 17, 14, and 9 completely dominates the game, basically without shooting. No three-point attempts. Like, what are you going to do with that in the future or now? Like, how can – and this is, again, one of my reasons. And last night I just got further confirmation why I'm picking the Sixers to get to the NBA Finals. Embiid should be back by game three. That's what they're saying, that he should be back by game three. But the Sixers, to me, are a perfectly balanced team. And I think I'm telling you right now, by the time they get to the conference finals to face Cleveland, they will have all the playoff experience that they need to take out Cleveland. Assuming that Cleveland gets there, and I think Cleveland will, they will have all the playoff experience they need to take out the Cavaliers. But again, you're talking about Ben Simmons. You're talking about a guy who does not sense the likes of Magic Johnson, who can dominate a basketball game without shooting. and with no jump shot. Doesn't have to take a lot of shots. Doesn't have a jump shot. And still, remember, he takes 10 free throws last night. He still gets to the rim at will. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. You know, coming into a game, what the scouting report is going to be on Ben Simmons. Can't shoot. Let's keep him away from the rim. It doesn't matter. And again, I've watched a lot of players go into their first playoff game and wet the bed. I've watched a ton of players, all-stars, Hall of Famers. This guy, it was just another game. That was Miami was up 4 points at halftime against the Sixers. And Sixers put 74 points on Miami. They put 74 points on Miami in the second half. This is the Miami Heat. This is not, you know, listen, Miami is a proud organization. This is a well-coached team. There are people who are picking Miami to win this series. Crazy as that sounds. Again, I think Miami will have their moments in this series. I don't see this going past five. I don't see it going past five myself. I think this is a five-game series. Especially with Embiid. The toughest thing about the Sixers moving forward is trying to reincorporate Embiid. Now they've gotten used to playing without Embiid. They changed up their style. They're playing at a faster pace, one of the fastest paces in the league. You know, how do you reincorporate him? What do you do to your style once he gets back? Are you going back to being a half-court team? Do you want to slow down this pace? That'll be the biggest challenge for Brett Brown, but that's one of those good problems to have. So again, the future is now in the NBA. 25-year-old Anthony Davis dominates. 20-year-old Ben Simmons dominates. Coming up, we'll talk about the other playoff games and much, much more on this latest edition of the Real Deal Sports Podcast with Cyril Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. 13 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Excuse me, 8 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We'll get to headlines later. But as far as the other two games goes, Golden State in total control against San Antonio. And, of course, you had Toronto getting by Washington. We'll deal with it in terms of locally, because I know people in the DMV are going to be interested in the Wizards here. The Wizards actually had a chance to win that game. The problem for the Wizards is John Wall continues to dominate the basketball, and that's not the way that the Wizards are going to be able to make not the way the Wizards are going to be able to win this series. So John Wall, you look at John Wall's box score, and people will say, well, what are you talking about? He had 23 points and 15 assists, if I'm correct, in this game, and I'll get this confirmation in a second here and look at the box score. 23 points, 15 assists. Those numbers are fine. And also four steals, two blocks. So those, and again, Wall played extremely hard in that game, was all over the place. But here's the problem. He gets 20 shots. Bill gets 17 shots. Wall, 15 assists, 20 shots. What that tells you is that the ball was basically in his hands the entire game. Okay, only he played 39 minutes. Basically, the ball was in his hands the entire game. When the Wizards were playing their best basketball, when Wall was out, the ball was moving. Henceforth, the little controversy you got within the team about how the ball was moving and how the style of play that they were playing without John Wall. Again, they are a better team with John Wall, but the style that they were playing without him was a more conducive style to winning and towards modern day basketball. Not only talk in terms of space and pace, but ball movement. So when the guy takes, again, 20 shots, your point guard is taking 20 shots, and dishing out 15 assists, he is dominating the basketball. That is like Russell Westbrook type numbers or type metrics. That does not equate towards winning basketball. Again, and Bradley, it's not like Bradley Beal had an off shooting night. Wall had an off shooting night. Wall was 6 for 20. Beal, 8 for 17, four assists, three steals, 19 points. Only went to the free throw line once. So, again, Wall had, and Wall, again, look at free throws. Wall went to the free throw line 10 times, so he was aggressive. But the point is, he had the ball in his hands too long, too much. And again, I don't think these are years of habits that have been built up over the past 4 or 5 years, because Wall has been the face of the franchise for the past four years in particular. Maybe not so as a rookie, but after that, he's been the face of the franchise for the past, at least minimum, the past 4 years, as he has been, a five-time All-Star. Shouldn't have made it this year, but we know he's an All-Star point guard. We know he is an elite player. But the team is much better off when the ball is moving. Now, again, with that being said, the Wizards still had an opportunity in that game. Again, if you're Toronto, I'm still concerned, because the Lowry and DeRozan did next to nothing in that game. I mean, I know they made a couple plays here and there down the stretch, but overall, they shot, between them, they were 10 for 27. Okay. 10 for 26, 11 and 17 points. They were bailed out by Ibaka, bailed out by DeLon Wright, C.J. Miles, guys like that. Some of their role players who played great all season long, kind of bailed them out. Dwayne Casey stuck to his guns and played the small lineup. Excuse me, played 11 guys. He said that he was only two guys. There were only two guys that did not play for Toronto. So Casey is going to stick, is going to stick to the strategy of using 11 or 12 players. Remember, Van Vliet is hurt right now, so maybe I don't know whether or not he's coming back. But he's a guy, so they might even play 12 guys had he been healthy. But again, if you're the Wizards, listen, game one is on the road, the home team's supposed to win. Game two, I would not be surprised if the Wizards won game two. But in order to win this series, the Wizards are going to have to have Wall's approach is going to have to change. That's all there is to it. His approach is going to have to change, and they're going to have to move, and they're going to have to continue to move the ball like they were moving the ball when he was injured for that 6 or 7 weeks or so. As far as the Spurs game, Warriors Spurs. Again, I don't want to hear about the Warriors being back. This is the worst Spurs team I've ever seen going to the playoffs, by far. It's not even close. This is their 21st appearance in the playoffs consecutively, which is amazing in itself. I don't want to hear about how all of a sudden now, and of course, it had to come from Draymond Green. We're back. We told you. No, this, you're playing. You are playing. This is a perfect matchup for Golden State to start the playoffs. A perfect matchup. Playing a team that frankly just cannot score. This team, the Spurs, will struggle to score 95 points in this series. I'm telling you right now. I thought maybe they can get one game, but this to me is looking more and more likely that it's going to be a sweep. I just can't score. And you don't even have to double team Aldridge. You can single cover Aldridge and stick with some of the Spurs shooters. And they have nobody. They have no one else on their team that is even going to warrant even anything close to a double team. So again, saw the Warriors come out, defend. Play harder. Defend. Klay Thompson had a big game. Of course, Durant does what he does in the playoffs as far as having a big game. You saw Draymond Green make a couple threes. I don't know. I can't go too crazy about this performance by Golden State, considering who they're playing. The Spurs are just not any good. I mean, they are a bad playoff basketball team. Not a bad team, but a bad playoff basketball team. If you look at all the teams in the playoffs, I think the Spurs, I gotta make the argument, maybe they're better than Milwaukee. Maybe. I would take the Wizards. I think the Wizards are better than the Spurs right now, to be honest with you. I don't think the Spurs are any good. So I'm not going crazy with Golden State in terms of winning this game, how they won it. I still think Golden State is vulnerable. Now, Golden State is still going to be my pick to get to the finals, especially when Steph Curry gets back, and he'll probably come back in the second round. We saw him working out before the game yesterday, so chances are he will be back by the second round. But I don't I'm not going. This is not the dominant Golden State Warriors. Then this Warrior team is not going to run through the playoffs like they did last season. It's going to They're going to work hard to get to the finals. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we'll have this morning's headlines coming up on this latest edition of the Real Deal Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. You know, a couple games. You had four games yesterday. You'll have three games today. In the NBA, well, excuse me, you have four games as well today. Milwaukee, Boston, Indiana, Cleveland, Utah, OKC, and Minnesota, Houston. The only one of those that I really, really, I think would be compelling is Utah, OKC. A lot of people, I like Oklahoma City in that matchup in seven games in that series, but I think that'll be a great series. The other three series today, I don't have any faith in. Milwaukee Boston will be competitive because the Greek is the best player on the floor in that series. So again, I don't trust, but I think Boston's coaching and culture will be enough to get them in six past Milwaukee, probably in six games or so. The Indiana, Cleveland, Minnesota, Houston, I expect nothing from Indiana or from Minnesota. I just don't. I understand that Jimmy Butler was hurt. A couple of games during Houston, during when Minnesota played Houston, of course, the regular season. Minnesota, Houston basically put about 125 a game on Minnesota during the regular season. But I think the Minnesota Houston series probably will be the least competitive series out of all those particular series. I still think the Sixers Miami can be competitive. I expect, again, New Orleans, Portland to go to seven. It's basically a coin flip from our standpoint. Basically a coin flip between those two teams. So I think you're going to have some pretty good first round series. I think you'll get at least two seven-game series. I can see New Orleans, Portland going seven, and I can see Oklahoma City and Utah going seven as well. In terms of this morning's headlines, of course, today, April 15th, marks Jackie Robinson Day. Jackie Robinson Day, the anniversary that Jackie Robinson, of course, broke the color barrier in baseball. You will see every player from every team wear the number 42. The last guy to wear the 42 in uniform was the great Mariano Rivera of the New York Yankees. Soon to be Hall of Famer, without question. So you'll get to see that. A lot of talk around that surrounding where are African Americans as far as playing baseball. And I'll tell you where they're at. They're playing football, they're playing basketball, and you know, that's what they're doing. baseball is just not an appealing sport to African Americans. Kids don't like baseball. It's just not. It moves too slow. I don't think it's a financial thing as far as being in terms of equipment and like the sport. Like golf is a financial thing. Like most people cannot afford, you know, golf clubs and things of that nature. The golf balls is a lot of that can be considered financial and a cultural thing in terms of not being introduced to the sport. I don't think that's the case in baseball. I think kids around the neighborhoods can find a space to play baseball. And again, all you need is a glove and a tennis ball and really you don't even need a real bat to play baseball. I mean, we used to play baseball with plastic bats and a tennis ball. So it is not a financial thing. It's just there's no interest there. And I don't know what Major League Baseball can do to drive interest in their sport amongst African Americans. I don't blame Major League Baseball for this. I just think that basketball, football, you know, the most popular athletes in the world right now are basketball players. Out of all the sports in the world, there are more basketball players who are top, you know, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Kevin Durant, whether it's Steph Curry, there are more popular basketball players in the sport, more popular basketball players in the sport of basketball than any other sport, especially domestically. It's not even close. I mean, soccer, you have to go like Messi, Ronaldo, some of those guys like that. But out of the four major sports, basketball by far and away has the most popular sport, popular players, and that is where the majority of African Americans are going to play, are playing. So you have that. In regards to baseball today, the Nationals get a much-needed win over the Rockies. Max Scherzer, again, doing what he does as being a stopper. You have a number of teams, as I look at the standings for baseball, you have a number of surprising teams right now that are playing great baseball. One of those teams that are not surprising, the Boston Red Sox, who are off to a fast start at 12-2. You have Toronto off to a quick start. I don't anticipate how long that will last. You have the Angels, 13-3. Otani, is Otani MVP right now? I think Otani might be the MVP right now. They've won seven straight. They're off to a fast start. The Mets, who had their 9-game winning streak snapped, still off to a good start at 11-2. Pirates, 10-4, and Diamondbacks, 11-3. Those are your division leaders right now. You have teams like the Dodgers are 4-9. I don't expect that to last. Nationals are only 7-8. So still very early in terms of the baseball. In terms of the baseball, again, baseball's first quarter poll is, I would say, Memorial Day. So I don't start taking baseball in terms of standings real serious until Memorial Day. That's the first quarter poll. You know, that's to me like the first end of the first quarter for the baseball. But never hurts if you're a team that was a bad team like the Mets were last year or the Angels were last year. Never hurts to get off to a fast start. Boston, San Jose, Nashville, Tampa Bay, all are up 2-0, 2-0 in the series with the NHL. So you have that. Pittsburgh, Philadelphia tied at 1. They'll have a big game 3 today around 3 p.m. in Philadelphia, which has all of a sudden become the city of champions here. So you will have that in terms of the NHL. Getting back to the Jackie Robinson day, if you want to see a great movie on that depiction of Jackie Robinson breaking into baseball, and also even like kind of like a prequel to that, go watch it's the HBO movie called A Soul of the Game. It's a great, great movie. Cecil Page talks about Cecil Page, Jackie Robinson, and Josh Gibson. Michael T. Williamson played Josh Gibson. Blair Underwood played Jackie Robinson, and Delroy Lindo played Cecil Page. It was a great, just great movie talking about it's really a story of the Negro Leagues. So even it predated Jackie Robinson breaking into the color barrier. It kind of was a story leading up to Jackie Robinson breaking into Major League Baseball. So if you're into baseball, if you're into movies and the history of the Negro Leagues, is definitely a good watch. Again, made by HBO, made about 20 years ago, came out like 96 or so. So you can check that out. When we return, Dez's new home. We'll find out. We'll talk about Dez Bryant and where he possibly can end up. And I will have my all NBA teams. This and much more on this latest edition of The Real Deal Podcast. We'll be right back. 26 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this last edition of The Real Deal Podcast. Of course, Dez Bryant was let go by the Dallas Cowboys. This was a salary cap move. I think it was a salary cap move first, but I also think Dez had wore out his welcome with Dallas. You heard him blaming, talking about quote unquote Garrett's guys, included some of the captains of the Cowboys, guys like Witten, Dak Prescott, and a couple other guys too. I forgot about, but there were about a handful of guys that seemed like they had enough of Dez. Of course, it all comes down, and you look at the NFL. NFL is more than any other sport is about production. When you are making a ton of money and your production drops, you are going to be on a list. You're going to be on the chopping block. These teams, the whole idea of the NFL is to get better and cheaper. So you're trying to get guys, you're trying to get more, you're trying to get as much bang for your buck as possible. And you're not going to pay a guy who had three straight years under 1,000 yards, who clearly cannot separate anymore. You're not giving that guy close to $13 million is all there is to it. And then to the point, the part where you realize that his time was up is they didn't even offer him a pay cut. You know, they was talking, most of the talk in the offseason was that he was going to get offered a pay cut. That was all the talking of basically all what we were talking about around in terms of the Cowboys. That never happened. So that never happened. And I understand why it didn't happen. You know, Dez is a guy who is about Dez. That's all his story. If Dez is getting, if he's getting his touches, getting his catches, he's happy. Even if the team's not winning, if he's not getting his touch, if he's not getting his touches, he's going to be a pain in the ass, even if the team is winning. So that, you know, Dez, from that standpoint, is who he is. And I think that, the Cowboys have really kind of shifted their culture, which is scary for the rest of the division in terms of how they should do things. They don't know, they don't make impulsive decisions. They've really drafted well over the past 3 or 4 years, building up the offensive line. So this is a move of maturity from my standpoint, from where I view it. And if I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm ecstatic, because the old Cowboy regime would have just kept Dez. And, you know, would have defended him through hell and high water. Oh, Dez, he'll be fine. We've got to do a better job at getting him open. They would have, kissed his ass. But now, they seem to be in a better place, from an organizational standpoint. You can give Jerry Jones credit, his son's credit. That's fine. So, they make the move that most NFL teams would have made and most quality organizations would have made. And that's cut a guy who not only is not a good locker room guy, but frankly, from a production standpoint, is not getting the job done anymore. That's life in the NFL. Your production slips, you have a chance, and you're making a lot of money, you will be on the chopping block. There are going to be a number of, and you saw this early in March, a number of expensive veteran players who get cut. That's life in the NFL. So I'm not surprised to see that. I don't think Dez Bryant will end up in the division. I have the team I think would be perfect for him, and they should go after him, is the Green Bay Packers. I think if you're the Green Bay Packers, they have a culture, they have an all-world best quarterback in the sport. They have they have veterans in that locker room who I think could control Dez enough to where all the nonsense he was pulling in Dallas, he would not pull. Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, you're not challenging Aaron Rodgers' authority on that team. It's Aaron Rodgers' team, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, that's it. That's not, I just don't think Dez Bryant respected Jason Garrett. Dak Prescott is still a young player. That would not fly in terms of Green Bay. So I think Green Bay, it'll be a perfect landing spot for him, and I expect that the Packers will go after him. They need another explosive player. Again, Aaron Rodgers not getting any younger. You cannot waste Aaron Rodgers' prime years and waste his prime years where you can be a contender, especially in a tough NFC conference. About all NBA teams, again, rookie of the year, MVP rookie of the year, to me, I've had Harden and Ben Simmons all along, so that's no surprise there. As far as all NBA first team, I had Harden, Lillard, Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Kevin Durant. Reluctantly went Kevin Durant over. Over Giannis. I thought I had Kevin Durant over the Greek. I just didn't think Milwaukee should have been better in a weaker conference. So I gave him a slight. I thought individually, the Greek probably had a better year than Durant. But I equate team success as well in terms of some of these All NBA teams. So from that standpoint, Golden State, even though they underachieved, still was the second best team in a much stronger conference. So I gave the slight edge to Durant over the Greek in terms of that. Second team had Aldridge, Aldridge, Embiid, Curry, and Westbrook, and Giannis, of course. Now, Curry would have been first team without question had he been healthy. That's the only reason why he's on the second team. As far as production, Curry was having an MVP, was having a top three, top five MVP caliber season, and would have been on my first team without. It's not even a debate. But again, you can't miss. Well, you missed 30 games this year, so that I had to put the guys in who showed up. Basically, played in the majority, at least 70 games, and Curry was not able to do that. So henceforth, he's on the second team, third team. I had Jokic, Draymond Green, Karl Anthony Towns, Ben Simmons at guard, and DeRozan at the other guard. Now, if you want to knock me for having DeRozan versus a Chris Paul, I have no problem with that. Chris Paul probably had a better year than DeRozan. I just thought DeRozan didn't have as much around him as Houston had. DeRozan is not playing with the MVP of the league, and Toronto had the best record in the league. I know DeRozan slipped at the end of the season, but then at the end of the season, April, Chris Paul was great all season. Again, you can go either way with that. I have no problem with Chris Paul being third team. I had DeRozan, so those are my all NBA teams. Again, the big man is back when you look at the center with Towns, Embiid, and Anthony Davis at the center spot. So the big man has returned without question in the NBA. So that was my all NBA team for the season. I think again the MVP. Without question, is James Harden. Now, we'll see whether that performance extends to the postseason. He has a lot to prove, along with D'Antoni and Chris Paul. They have a big. They need to get to the NBA Finals. They need to get to the NBA Finals. At worst, anything less than a Finals appearance will be a major disappointment for the Houston Rockets. I don't think they're going to get there. I think Golden State has somewhat been playing possum. And I think once Golden State gets Curry back in the second round, Golden State's going to be difficult to deal with moving forward. Now you look at the second round, looking at Golden State and OKC possibly in the second round here, in the second round in terms of the matchups, in terms of who Golden State will possibly play. It would be, as I look at this bracket here, it would be Golden State. I think it would be Golden State and OKC. Regardless, when Golden State gets back Curry, it doesn't matter. It won't matter who they play when they get back Curry. Again, I'm not as high on Golden State as past years where I thought it was basically automatic that they were going to win a championship. They are vulnerable, and they've done a lot of complaining. Steve Kerr's done a terrible job, but I just think they're going to win a championship by default. I just don't think there's nothing out there. There's nothing in the East, and again, I don't trust any of these. I don't trust the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference. And any team past Houston just wouldn't be good enough to beat Golden State. Houston actually has the talent that could possibly challenge Golden State if Golden State slipped enough. I don't think Golden State is going to slip to that level, and I still don't trust Houston mentally to be able to get past their playoff demons in order to go all of a sudden win a championship, beat Golden State and win a championship. So I'm going with Golden State and Philadelphia in the NBA Finals, and I'll take Golden State in that series. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We have a number of podcasts lined up in the next couple of weeks. Again, thanks to Nate Darwish for the boxing podcast. We learned a lot, of course, about his career and about the sport of boxing. We have some stuff lined up for you. Hope you enjoy the basketball. So long.